Ask the Mayor, our public affairs program every Sunday at 7 a.m. with our Honorable Mayor, Patrick Taylor, and then online at whlc.com. Bricks that are going to be dedicated on Monday, and what a history.
American Legion Post 370 puts on the remembrance ceremony for Memorial Day. That will be at 10 o'clock at Veterans Park, at the flagpoles, right at the police station. Encourage everyone to take time from their busy day and come and pay tribute. I've made a video about Veterans Day, and you can view that at AskMayorPat.com. The new bricks have a World War I veteran. There was a veteran in the Civil War. We have veterans represented from the Korean War, World War II, the Gulf Wars. But one that was, to me, really special was the veteran that was in the Indian Wars. Wow. And the story is that he was a scout for General Custer. And if you can't make it to the ceremony, I encourage you to take just a few minutes on Memorial Day and go to the Highland Cemetery and just walk around the grounds. Every veteran at the cemetery will have a flag posted by their grave. I did that a few years ago and discovered that there was a veteran there that was killed in action in the Second World War, and it was on May 5th, 1945. That was right before the surrender of Germany to the Allied forces. It's very poignant that that person had served in that theater for all that time, and right before the end of the war, he lost his life.
Well, you're back from your first community coffee at the Hudson Library, and your topic, the budget.
It is $40.5 million this year. We have to account for budgeting everything we do in this town. Every department, every activity has to be in the budget, and that's why it is that high. We have to include in the budget grants that we've received, donations, like the $1.6 million. Much of that was donated from the private sector. Well, that has to be included in the budget also. But our actual general fund budget, which is primarily operating cost, is $11 million this year.
Would you please comment about what's going on in Raleigh with the constitutional amendments about property taxes, setting the tax rate?
We have a 3 cent per $100 of valuation increase on our property taxes in Highlands. We've had to do that because our reserve funds have been going down significantly each year. This year we're using almost $3 million in reserve funds to balance the budget. Our reserves now are below 50% of operating costs for a year. We've got to build that back up. That's the expectation that our auditors and the local government commission would expect us to do. We haven't had a property tax increase in 12 years. There is a movement, and it passed the House this week, where a constitutional amendment will be on the state ballot in November that would give the legislature the authority to limit how much the property tax can be raised by towns and counties in a given year. There's been a real outcry among elected officials at the county and municipal level saying we have to be able to make these adjustments in the property tax rate to meet the demands required, providing public safety such as paying our police and sheriff deputies, funding education, paving roads. We think there is an accountability system already in place without going to the state legislature. It's called the local voter. If they don't like more taxes being levied against them, they can always vote the people out of office.
Pass a state budget, then do something else.
There's another constitutional amendment that'll probably be on the ballot, and that would be to limit the state income tax to only 3.5%. Some people think that's good because it locks in a low tax rate. Other people, and I'm in this group, would contend there might be times, especially difficult situations with the state, where being able to increase the income tax is necessary to guarantee services to the public.
The town board meeting was a long one. the noise ordinance. You're going to have a little field trip.
We had on the agenda a review of the noise ordinance. I apologize. I know a significant number of people showed up to hear that review. I had come up with an idea of having the police do a demonstration of decibel levels. Commissioner Weller pointed out that that would be best done in an outdoor setting, simulating a real situation. So we agreed to postpone that review of the noise ordinance, and in the interim, sometime between now and the next town board meeting on June the 18th, to have a special meeting where the members of the board and those attending this meeting could actually go outside and hear what does 70 decibels sound like, 50 decibels or lower. That will be coming up in the next few weeks, along with some other planned meetings too.
What was the outcome of the closed session? That special meeting, I guess, is going to be coming up on Tuesday about businesses coming outside of their business and presenting some of the things they're selling.
Our attorney wants us to review the solicitation ordinance on town property. It's related to a lawsuit that we're facing in federal court now by Highlands Beauty and Art, LLC. That first hearing will be June the 1st in Asheville. So we will be having a special meeting, Steve, this coming Tuesday at 4 p.m. at the Highlands Community Building. This will not be a closed session. It will be open to the public to hear the board's and the attorney's discussion about modifying the current ordinance that's already in place.
Well, some more news about the Mirror Lake dredging. Here we go with phase two, and we can actually watch a presentation.
Yes, Mike Hansen came to the board meeting. Mike is an engineer with McGill and Associates. He really went over in detail the interlocal agreement we have with Macon County to put the dredging materials, which will be 60,000 cubic yards of sediment, deposit that on the old site of the landfill at the Rich Gap Transfer Station. We have this agreement to where we will be building a road that will not interfere with normal traffic going to the transfer station, and we will be developing a site over the old landfill where we will be able to environmentally deposit those materials in a correct and environmental friendly manner. We will also, with this design, enhance the vegetative deposit area at that transfer station once we have finished the dredging project. Instead of having to transfer all those yards of sediment, maybe 20 miles to the Macon County landfill, we'll be able to only go 3 miles, and that will save a lot in cost in the dredging project, or allow us to do more dredging because we have a short distance to take the material. The next step will be the finalization of the permitting process, the bid documents, and the construction plan for doing phase two and phase three of the dredging. They'll come back to the town board and share those documents and provide that information before those bids for the project are sent out to qualified contractors. We will also have a community meeting, especially for the folks around Mirror Lake, on what the plan is. Mike also gave us a very tentative schedule for completing this project. Hopefully by March of 27, the contractor will be able to start phase two. That will go into 28. Phase three probably be complete by early 2029. Other process would be to let the contract for phase two and three at the same time and do them at the same time. That might create more disruption, but might speed up the timeline. I will say this, though. Anything that a contractor does, anything that McGill does or the town does, it's subject to the review of the North Carolina Department of Water Quality. They will be overseeing the operation to make sure that it is an environmentally friendly process as best as it can be, because that's a lot of material to be removing from that waterway.
Would you comment on the parking adjustment, your rules of conduct, and the comprehensive plan was also discussed?
The parking ordinance was changed to where people, especially at construction sites, cannot just simply block critical access points like curves and hills in the town streets. It was just a modification of that existing ordinance. The rules of conduct reviewed those previously and came back and approved those. That's about 20 pages of procedural rules on how to conduct a town board meeting or any meeting dealing with town business. We had just kind of informally been doing that. Our town attorney wanted to formalize the process with written policies, and now that is in place.
We're on the Sunshine List and saw that in our email account. The fire tax increase, we're thinking of adding a third firefighter.
We have a town fire department, but we have a contractual relationship with the county to serve and provide fire protection for the unincorporated areas as well as the incorporated town limits. The county has stakeholders in it and the town also. So when we go to increase the fire tax or have a budget, we always approve it first, the town board, and then the county also has to review it and make a decision. It's a partnership, and if one of the others don't approve the same thing, it's a no-go and we have to rethink it. We've already now at this budget meeting approved a 2-cent increase, and the reason we think that we need that increase is, first of all, there's a 20-year-old pumper truck that we've had. It's working. We paid, I think, $250,000 for it way back then. The firefighters and the chief and others feel like it would be wise to phase that truck out and buy a new pumper truck. Here's what inflation does for you. 20 years later, instead of a $250,000 truck, it's more like a $600,000 truck. So that's one item that would be driving the increase in the fire tax. And then the other increase would be we want to add a third full-time firefighter for each shift. The reason is this. When we have a call, especially if it's a structure fire, two firefighters respond. Well, that means right now there's no other firefighter at the station. If we had three, there would always be another firefighter there. And here's what has been happening. We have simultaneous calls. Two firefighters will go out to answer one call, only to have another call come in while they're out responding to the first call. If you had a third firefighter, they could go and respond to the second call and assess the situation. The other thing is, and we've talked about this before, having full-time staff, and we made this commitment when we built the firehouse, it gives us a faster response time to calls. With the housing crisis we have only one firefighter that lives in Highlandsland. That's the fire chief. The rest of our volunteers are living outside the town limits and in some cases maybe 5 or 10 miles or more away. If we were depending on them to answer calls solely, they would have to come from their house, which would take some time, and then have to get in the truck, get their gear, and then respond. That could be 8, 10, or minutes longer. With full-time staff, you have them in the barracks area. When a call comes in, they fly down that fire pole, jump in the truck. They're out of the fire station in about 2 minutes, and they can be on site within 3 minutes or less. That's an advantage that we think is essential now for having full-time firefighters.
Precious time saved. Sanitation. Trucks are expensive, and it costs a lot to run that department.
And we moved it from what we call the enterprise fund category 2 years ago and put it in the general fund. In other words, any shortfall in that sanitation department is covered by general tax revenue. That means that we don't have to necessarily go up on rates, which we try to stabilize. We had about $900,000 in revenue. Fees for residential customers, dumpster rentals were like $25,000. It added up to about $900,000 for income in the sanitation department.
That should be enough.
The actual cost, because we are going to have to buy a new garbage truck for $380,000, Used to be 250. I love that number, but now they've gone up too. We're about $300,000 short in our budgeting for sanitation. We're running those garbage trucks almost every day. They're getting a workout every day, and especially the back area where they contain the garbage and the mechanical structure. Eventually, it wears out after we try to make repairs and things to where it's just not feasible to try to keep a failing garbage truck down. We have to buy new ones. Those expenditures can really increase your budget, Steve.
On this Memorial weekend, of course, tomorrow, we can head on out there and honor our fallen heroes.
Absolutely. And I hope everybody will at least take just a few minutes of reflection and appreciate the sacrifices that these servicemen made, the ultimate sacrifice.